This podcast is proud to be part of the TalkSport Fan Network.
TalkSport. Powered by fans.
The TalkSport Fan Network is proudly supported by McDelivery, bringing you the food you love. McDelivery brings a top-tier lineup of food right to your door. No matter the result, you'll always be winning with McDelivery. So the only thing left to say is, you in? Order now on the McDonald's app. You can also get reward points delivered too. So the ordering today means some tasty rewards for tomorrow. Only via app at participating restaurants. 18 plus, rewards registration required. Points only on menu items, delivery fee and terms apply. See mcdonalds.com.
Back of the Nest preview show, sponsored by Pitch Sport. Available to download on the App Store and Google Play. PitchDMM.com.
Welcome, ladies and gentlemen, to the Back of the Nest preview podcast. I'm your host, Terence Ford, and unlike Palace, there are no new additions to the squad, so you'll have to make do with Eskiff and Burt for another year. First up, it's desperate to be our rival Southampton, who will be looking to pick up where they left off last season. But Ken Roybal of pre-season scupper their plans.
Back of the Nest, sponsored by Pitch Sport. PitchDMM.com.
Yes, back at it for another season. Exciting times. All a bit more optimistic, well, in my head anyway, than it was when we left off at the end of Operation Project Restart, whatever it was called. But I'm going to undoubtedly have Eskiff bring me back down to earth. Thanks for joining.
Thanks. I'm actually really disappointed because Albert had put in a transfer request, and much like Wilf, there hasn't even been an inquiry, let alone a bid for him. So,
yeah, well, has anyone told Bert that this is a Premier League podcast? Hello, Bert.
Nice to be back. Well, that's what I was going to say. Now it kind of feels like I don't mean it. How are you?
Yeah, not too bad. I've me and Eskiff met up over the summer.
Oh, thanks for the invite.
Yeah.
It's London postcodes only. So
I met your lovely new dog. You got a puppy.
I have, who is asleep at the moment. So if you hear me swearing even more than normal, it's because he's run into my room and started messing around with all my stuff.
Mate, yeah. No, listen, you're constantly talking for the next 45 minutes. I mean, we're at risk of me falling asleep, let alone the dog waking up.
That's true.
What else have you been up to through lockdown? Did you finish those Heinekens I brought round for you?
I did, yeah. By the way, Albert, to fill you in, Terence came round. I said, just bring some booze. He brought Heineken.
Mate, a whole case.
He gives it all the fucking nonsense when he's on the podcast, but behind closed doors, he's just a troglodyte like me.
Troglodyte.
It was when we was having that super hot weather. Like you can't drink craft ales in like 95 degrees. Don't make sense.
Sure.
I'll defer to your judgment there, mate.
Before we go any further, let's talk about beer, shall we? I've got a nice one today, I think. But what you got, Hesketh?
I'm drinking a Modelo.
Nice.
Which is very nice, in fact.
And Albert?
Ooh. That's really hard to listen to because I haven't got anything, and now I need a wee.
Oh, what is this? You're on a fast day.
Yep. Actually, yeah.
It's ironic, isn't it?
Yeah.
Well, I don't know. His wit's pretty fast, but I'm probably getting to the fridge. He's pretty fast.
Yeah, I did consider breaking it, but then I went to the fridge and was greeted with absolutely no beer, so I can sit here and claim that it was my willpower that got me through, but it was actually my lack of organization in having beer in the fridge.
Okay, yeah, are you ready for what I've got?
No.
It's called Sonic Reducer and it's from the Pentridge Brewery, which is in Derbyshire. It's brewed with Simcoe, Columbus, Chinook and the Sentinel hops. Not had it before.
There's a lot to unpack there. Are those Are those good. Actual hops? Actual types of hops?
It's pretty good. It's a pale ale. Yeah, it's nice. Recommend that.
Could you drink it in hot weather?
Maybe one. In the sort of in the morning before all the heat's really hit home.
Bless.
Right. Should we talk about Palace? I think that's what we're here to do.
Go on then.
Michy Batshuayi has been announced as returning this time for an entire season on loan. Albert, is this exciting you?
Potentially. All I'll say is
he scored against Watford, so I hate him.
I hate him. Yeah. that was probably my Batshuayi highlight from the last time round, because that was a pretty dull game and he pulled out a pretty special goal. I'm just a bit the Chelsea loan system has always dropped a long-term injury, hasn't it? Happened to Loftus-Cheek. Who was the striker before?
Loic Remy.
I mean, did he even wear put a Palace shirt on ever?
Just about, I think, a couple of times.
The only one who didn't suffer it was Patrick Bamford, unfortunately.
The one who we all wanted to suffer it.
Yeah, yeah. So I'm excited. And no, listen, if he stays fit, I think he's a. You know, there's some people who are a bit trepidatious about it, who said that he wasn't that great when he was here, which I probably sort of would have said. And then someone pointed out his goal stats. What was it, 6 in 13?
Yeah.
Which, you know, that's decent. And we just need options. You know, it doesn't matter if he's better than Benteke or better than Ayew, or we just need options, because we don't have any flexibility in that third of the field. So it's a good signing, in my opinion.
Yeah, I think he scored those 6 goals, one in the FA Cup, 5 in the league, and from the time he joined us, I think we only lost a couple of games and we climbed massively up the league at that point. And I think come the end of the season, it was only Liverpool and Man City with better records than us in that calendar year. So it just showed what having a striker at the top of the field did. And a striker that Hesketh, we're just not used to having in recent years, is one that sits on the last shoulder and gets in behind defences, which can stretch them.
Yeah. I mean, all last year, we were sort of bemoaning the fact that we never had anyone in the box. And as good as Ayew was, a lot of the time he was sort of doing the hard work outside the box. He'd look up and there'd be no one in there. So to have someone who's so adept at being that guy in the box, whether he does huge amounts outside of it or not, is someone that we will definitely benefit from. And, you know, quite apart from the fact that we only scored 31 bloody goals all last season, so having someone who came in and scored 6 in 13 when he was here last, you know, that's not too shabby. And like you say, he's here for the whole year. So it's not a little case of sort of like does well until Christmas and he's off and we sort of suffer from it. So, yeah, I think it's a great signing.
Yeah, I mean, I can't see how he doesn't score. Should I say the dreaded 10 plus goals this season, really. He's scored goals wherever he's gone. He's always in between the goalposts and he's got good one touch. The way Roy's been setting us up over pre-season is we're all trying to bounce the ball off each other and try and make things happen, move quickly. And I think he's the perfect sort of striker to have in that sort of mould. So I'm very, very excited, but as Albert says, he's probably going to get injured after 3 games or something.
He's good at bouncing the ball off himself, if you remember that that clip of him leathering it against the post and smashing it into his own head.
Yeah, in the Belgium shirt.
Yeah, like you said, always between the posts.
But no, very, very excited for this one. And I mean, I suppose there's a chance of us getting on the permanent at the end of the season should things go well.
Is there any talk of fee of what that may or may not be?
I think he'd probably be available I think if they were to sell him now with before he signed that new contract, I think they would have been lucky to get 10 million for him. If he has a good season with us and then a year left in his contract, then perhaps that can stretch to somewhere more closer to 20. I think they paid 30 million for him in the initial stages. But you've got to remember they've loaned him out a few times and they've been getting loan fees all the time. So it's not like they've been making a loss on him long term. It'll just mean that... they just won't get as much as the initial fee that he came in for. So if we can get him for somewhere between 15 and 20 million, if he has a really good season, I think it's a no-brainer, really, especially when you consider we're likely to lose a lot of wage bill come the end of this season. A lot of players coming out of contracts, your Sakos, your Bentekes and things like that. I know Benteke will have a year left, but those are wages that we'll be trying to get off the wage bill so we'd be able to afford his wages and so on. So hopefully it'll work out for all of us come the end of the season. And we'll see how it goes. I mean, we are the striker graveyard. So he scored goals everywhere he's gone. And if he's not going to score them somewhere, it'll probably be with us. But there you go. He managed it last time. So let's see. Let's move on to the transfer window a bit more as a whole. It's been quite refreshing, isn't it, Eskif? Not even you can moan about this.
Yeah, so far, so very good, I reckon. It just seems for the first time in I don't know how many windows that we actually have a plan and know what we want, what positions we need to buy, who to target, plan Bs, that sort of thing. So, you know, the Ferguson transfer, we'd obviously done the hard work in January, but followed it up and made sure that he knew how much we wanted him. So that was done nice and early. Eze is exactly the sort of player, much like Batshuayi, that we need, a bit of creative flair, good with the ball, takes the heat off Wilf. Getting him in for 16 million when Villa have paid about that for some fullback from Forest, I think that's a really good deal for us. Batshuayi looks really good. So I think if we carry on with that, it's like we know where our deficiencies are and we're filling those gaps really, really well. So hopefully, if we get one or two or three even more in, I think it'll be an absolutely outstanding window.
Three more?
Well, not necessarily first teamers. Let's caveat with that.
Yeah, well, I think we need a centre back, probably. Even our great depth at centre back is being tested at the moment with the amount of injuries we have there. There's been lots of rumours that we've been looking at Bela Kochap, football manager legend, Eskif, Bela Kochap. And then sort of going further up the field, we probably would like one more up top. And the report, the other QPR lad we've been pointed out, what is it, Osu Bright, is that his name?
Yes.
And we've also been looking at Rian Brewster as well from Liverpool. Ismail Assar was mentioned today as well, Bert.
Yep. Watford.
I can't really see that one happening. I think people higher up the league are looking at him. So I mean, getting Brewster in and Bela Kochap would probably signify a great window in terms of lowering the age of the squad, getting young players into the positions where we desperately need them, and with very senior players in that position to help them along in their career as well. So, very, very exciting times. At the moment, I'm giving it about an 8 out of 10 as a transfer window. Add Brewster or another winger and Bela Kochap, I think we're probably looking at the perfect transfer window. So I don't know what to say.
I don't want to bring it down, but one of my best mates who's a Chelsea fan has literally just sent me a picture of Batshuayi doing the, what do you call that pose when you put both your hands next to your head to do a bit of a na 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 na. He's just sent me a picture of Batshuayi doing that in a Palace shirt saying, enjoy this clown. So, maybe taking the edge off it slightly.
Well,
or trying to.
To be fair, Chelsea hero worship John Terry. So I don't know if I want to take their opinions too seriously.
Yeah, this is true.
Yeah, but I mean, they're the clowns here because they're the ones who have put a red and blue striped kit to what everyone is just like, what are you doing?
It's nice though, isn't it?
Is it?
Yeah, I think it's better than our home.
I think
shirt.
It's horrible.
Really?
Yeah. It looks like a sort of bootleg, the sort of thing that our old producer Billion would buy off Chinese eBay for like 70 quid and then complain that the ironed on badge has fallen off.
Yeah, that was the Manbet X was an awful sponsor on the front of the shirt. Let's be honest, it looked terrible. But the one he bought from China, it was like double the size of a regular shirt. And he was so excited, bless him, about getting this cut price. It's the actual shirt. It's just, you know, it's just leftover ones. Yeah, okay, mate. Sure it is. There you go. Right. As always, we look ahead to the season in the opening episode, and we jot down some predictions for the season, and then we'll come back to it in the final episode of the year and see how close we were, how awful we were. I assume you've done all your preparation, lads.
I've actually written it down because my memory is awful.
Wow.
Preparation, thank you very much.
Albert can't even manage to put beer in his fridge. I'm assuming you haven't.
I'm just looking at the questions now.
So, well, I'll give you a chance to think. So, Hesketh, top scorer, and how many will he score?
I've gone very positive. Obviously, it's Batshuayi. I've said 14.
Oof.
Which, now that I say it out loud, is very high. I'll stick with it. 14.
Okay. Very, very optimistic. Who was the last player to score 10 over 10 in a season for us? Must have been Benteke, 16, 17. Oh.
Did Luka score 11?
Yeah, penalties, though.
Little pens, yeah.
Oh, yeah. We don't celebrate those.
No, we are.
They don't count.
Yeah, all right. Goals from open play. Would Batshuayi? I mean, that's my outrageous prediction. I'll get to that in a bit. What about you, Bert? Who's going to score the most?
I'm going to also say Batshuayi, but I mean, Hesketh is a Debbie Downer, and he's already regretting the 14. Where I think that sounds fairly modest.
Ooh.
So I'm just going to top it a little bit, and I'm going to say 16 goals for Batshuayi.
Okay. I'm going to go for... I'll go for Batshuayi as well. And
ooh.
I'll go 11. 11. I think 11, anything more than 10 will be a positive outturn, really. But...
Zaha staying is literally crucial to this, this stat.
Yeah, absolutely.
For me, anyway, because I've gone 16.
Well, I mean, yeah, if you've got Zaha as a Batshuayi and I have a Benteke, IU, whatever, all sort of buzzing around each other.
McCarthy.
Yeah, hopefully he's buzzing around the midfield of another team. We need to sell someone. We need to get some money in. Okay, top assists. Albert, this time you're going first.
This one's very dependent on Zaha staying, because I'm going to say Wilfried Zaha with 7 assists.
Is it going to be the James McArthur show again, Hesketh?
I, funnily enough, have also said Wilf with 7.
Oh, okay then. Well, I mean, I think it's been James McArthur for the last couple of seasons with like 3 or something. I'll go with Eze with 6. Again, yeah, the new boy is doing bits. Who's going to be player of the year, Hesketh?
It's back to being his year. It's going to be Wilf. Okay. I reckon having Eze.
For this club we're talking about.
For this club.
Yeah.
I reckon having like Eze there and Batshuayi and hopefully playing a bit more freer going forward than he did last year, he'll get back to his normal self, get a bit more space and start dicking players around a bit more.
Okay. I'm gonna go for Vicente. Hopefully he won't drop any more clangers this season. But you sound disgusted there.
No, I'm not disgusted. Just, you know, those are the two that I have gone for, and I feel like I have to be contrary and go something different. I'm going to go I'm going to go well outside, and I'm going to say Nathan Ferguson.
Hmm. Yeah, yeah. Potentially, I mean, it depends. Might have a slow start coming back from injury and all of that. But I mean, to be honest, I can't even say I've ever seen him play. So I have no idea if he's going to be good or not. I don't know. Did he review to manage to catch him on Sky at all?
I've seen him twice, maybe. He looked all right.
He looks all right. yeah, so next one we have got is place in the table, Albert.
12th.
Away days are great, but there's nothing quite like playing at home. The same goes for McDonald's. Maximise your home ground advantage with McDelivery. You in? Order now on the McDonald's app. At participating restaurants, 18 plus, serving times, delivery fee and terms apply. See mcdonalds.com.
Heskiff?
Well, I've said 15th, but now I'm looking at 14 goals for Batshuayi and 7 assists for Will. 15th seems quite low. But it's what I went for, so I'll stick with it.
Yeah, I'll go with 11th.
Ooh.
Just outside the top 10, as always.
Yeah, we can do the maths. We know what 11 means.
Oh, it's about how many more points Watford needed to stay up, wasn't it? and the last one, and the favourite one, is the outrageous prediction, Heskiff.
Nathan Ferguson's going to get goal of the season. I reckon he's going to absolutely smash a goal in from like 35, 40 yards, top corner.
It'll just be the mirror image of Dean Gordon just pinging it with his right peg instead of his left. Nice. Albert?
Connor Wickham. No. Do you know, Connor Wickham. That is just my outrageous prediction. Connor Wickham.
Connor Wickham.
Connor Wickham.
No, go on. What is it?
Connor Wickham. Connor Wickham. Connor Wickham scores
a goal.
Scores a goal for someone else on loan around January, February time. No, what's my outrageous prediction? I think that... it's hard. It's tough. I can't think of anything that outrageous apart from Connor Wickham.
Well, I'm going to go with Eze will end the season as our penalty taker.
Ooh.
So Luca will end up bottling it at some point from the penalty spot. They've already given him number 10 shirt. He's just going to take pens as well.
His penalty, what's the word? Like how he takes his penalties really scares me.
There's a brilliant...
Like the stutter and the stop.
Yeah, there's a brilliant one from last season where the goalkeeper is just so lost, he ends up about 4 yards out and still dives the wrong way. It's great.
What's scarier, that or the Bruno Fernandes weird hopping, galloping towards the ball?
Oh, is it him and Jorginho does that as well, doesn't he?
It's very, very odd.
Yeah. So could you come up with an outrageous prediction in that time?
Roy Hodgson to be sacked before Christmas.
Okay, that is quite outrageous. I can't see that happening. They talked about that a lot on the review show doing a season preview, I guess is the best way of describing
it. Get back in line, motherfuckers.
they talked about that a lot, saying it's unlikely that he's going to get sacked because, you know, it's final year of his contract, and as long as he keeps us in the division and then hands over this squad for someone to come in. And that's where we'll end this little bit of chat of just basically, Heskiff, you've got this squad now. I'm trying to think the best way to word it. This squad now has, you know, we've brought the age down a bit. We're looking to add a couple of more. It's got to become a bit more of an attractive prospect for any potential managers to replace Roy at the end of the season.
Yeah, I think so. One of my main concerns is if Roy last does stay the whole season, which we all think he will, how is Patrick O'Connor going to survive? Because I think he's about to take off in the back of the next chat talking about Roy. I think one thing that's good for the incoming manager is that it's much less of a rebuilding than it would be if they came in this summer. I know towards the end of the season, I was saying sort of, I think it makes sense for the new man to come in and just be the person that starts the new project or whatever you want to say it is. But I suppose if you come in now and we've got players like Batshuayi and Eze and Ferguson, you know, maybe Brewster, maybe Benrahma, you've got like a nucleus of a really good young team that you can push on from. So, yeah, I think you're right. I think we're building it very, very well. I mean, it's Palace, so we're bound to mess it up and shoot ourselves in the foot somewhere down the line. But so far, everything's pointing in a very good way, I think.
Yeah, well, Dougie Friedman's been coming in for lots of praise from fans. Is he building it for himself, Albert?
Hey, that's not a bad shout, actually. Well, that was kind of the question I was going to put to you two. Do you think, I know obviously, well, reportedly, we don't sign players that Roy Hodgson doesn't sanction. But do you think these are Roy Hodgson fully sanctioned signings?
I don't think so. I think Roy has probably had to just accept that, you know, we need to get some younger players in. Although saying that, immediately he thrust Eze into that, we'll call it the Ruben, everyone's been calling it the Ruben Loftus-Cheek role from when we ended that season so well when he was here. And so he clearly recognises his ability and wants to use him in that way, and it immediately makes us a more progressive team. So maybe Roy comes in for a bit of slack, you know, if he feels like he's got the players to be more attacking, he'll play a more attacking formation as he's proven in the past. So, things have changed a bit. You know, he can't believe we've got a player like Eze and this can transform our style. I'm saying this all now after a few preseason wins against, the worst of opposition in Charlton and Millwall. So you never know, it could all go tits up very quickly, but,
It feels like they've gone, if we buy loads of more attacking players, there's no way he can leave them all on the bench.
Yeah, and I expect another one to come in before the end of the window, so absolutely right. He can't complain about his lack of attacking options. That won't be an excuse for him anymore. And that was all he's only ever griped, basically. I looked at my bench, I've got no attacking options. That has now been resolved. He's still got the rest of the squad. No one's left. He's got the rest of the team in place. So he's got those attacking options, and it's now for him to, I think DR was talking about a lot of it on the last pod, of striking up the correct balance between defence and attack to make sure that we score some goals, Hesketh.
Yeah, one thing that I've really enjoyed in pre-season, like you say, it was sort of crap opposition, but I have to say, I didn't watch the Bromby game, but the games that I did see, he was playing Gyro and Jimmy as the two in midfield, and those two worked really, really well. Obviously, Jimmy's really energetic. We know that. He's non-stop running every game. And Gyro likes to get forward. He's very calm on the ball. He doesn't just hoof it away. He doesn't slow it down. He gets the ball moving. And that helps players like Eze and Wilf and Ayew. Because I think a lot of the time last year, obviously, I moaned a lot about having three sort of sitting midfielders. But we just like slowed the ball down so much. And we didn't have the players technically to sort of pass our way around teams. We need to get the ball moving quickly, basically get it on the wing and fucking leg it. I think having Jimmy and Gyro as a midfield too, they do get the ball going. They both run with the ball. They've both got a lot of energy. And that's helped the attacking players quite a lot. And we've created loads of chances. Again, I know it's not great opposition, but from the highlights, it looked like we created a lot against Bromby as well. We just couldn't finish. Hmm. So we're sort of hoping that, you know, getting someone like Batshuayi in, that'll be the one sort of missing link of the puzzle. That's a terrible metaphor, but you know what I mean. And we'll actually sort of start putting these chances away and being able to play attacking football, because not only do we now have the players, but we're actually quite good at it.
Missing piece of the puzzle.
Piece of the puzzle. There you go.
But sticking on Gyro Riedewald there, Bert, do you think he'll hold his place in the team, or with PVA out and Luca coming back now, do you think he'll switch to Luca and MacArthur and then put Gyro in at left back?
I did feel like wading into Hesketh's pro-Gyro spiel there and saying, do you honestly believe he's going to start in the middle of the park when it actually gets serious. And that is not to say I don't like Jairo Riedewald. It's more of a Roy Hodgson comment. Yeah, I mean, if we know he can slot in at left back, and he did a pretty decent job the last time he had a little run in that part of the field. Luca, obviously, has on his day, he hasn't had one of those days for quite a while, but on his day, can be a real influence, and set pieces are obviously a massive, massive part of his arsenal. So I do expect Luca to come in when he is fit. I don't know how close he is, but I think if Roy, you ask Roy who's more likely to start, all things being equal and fit, I think it would be Luca, wouldn't it?
Yeah, I don't think there's any injury problems with him. He played obviously in one of the pre-season, and he played for the under 23s the other day. But I think he was just having to self isolate when he came back for some reason or the other. I don't know whether that was coming from abroad somewhere or he was.
He'd been away in Serbia, so had to quarantine on his way back.
Yeah, exactly. So he should be relatively fit. I mean, he blows out of his arse at the best of times. So,
I've never checked.
Yeah. Well, there you go. We'll see. I'm a bit like you, Bert. When the tough gets going, I don't think he's going to be in the middle, to be honest.
I mean, I'm not saying that he's going to be there all season, but I think for this game coming, I'd be really surprised if he doesn't play Jimmy and Jairo, considering they've started every friendly together, haven't they? So I'd imagine he's been testing that out, and I don't think Luca's fully fit, so I reckon that they'll both start against Southampton.
Yeah, I'm trying to think who Southampton have got out wired. I remember him was it Gnepo they brought on at the game at St Mary's last season, and he absolutely tore us a new one on the wing.
Yeah.
Very, very pacey, so... if he's about, maybe that'll be troublesome for, it'd be troublesome for Ward or Mitchell or Riedewald if he's there, I imagine. So I guess it's just how much trust he's gained in Mitchell over the back end of last season and going into these games. He's not disgraced himself, has he, Sam?
No, he's been all right. I think it's quite easy because he's a young fullback. A lot of people online sort of talk about him in the same breath as Wan-Bissaka, which I don't think he's that good, which is not really a diss because Wan-Bissaka was absolutely brilliant for us, obviously. But he seems to be sort of gaining in confidence. I think his positional play can be a bit better, maybe, but
comes with game time, doesn't it? It comes with playing at a level.
And if he's playing alongside Scott Dan, who's just obviously super experienced, or Kiarte, whoever's on that side, he's going to have a lot of experience next to him, sort of talking him through it, I think. So by no means has he been bad, but I think the more he plays, like you say, the better, the more confident he'll be and the better he'll become. So I'm fine with him being the starting left back while PVA is out injured instead of Jaroslav Jack.
Yaroslav will be there. Of course, I talked about at the top of the show about Southampton, our wannabe rivals. And of course, it all stems around from the battles between Wilfried Zaha and James Warrie D.L. Prowse. but can Southampton become the new Watford?
That feels like a leading question.
Well, I mean, even the other day they was doing their walk-ons for TV channels. They walk up to the camera, the players, and either put their arms behind their backs or whatever. James Ward-Prowse the other day was rubbing his eyes like he was crying and saying, "This one's for Crystal Palace." So it seems like they're really missing Portsmouth. So they need a new rivalry.
Apparently, he is a Portsmouth fan. My Southampton mate tells me he's originally a Pompey boy. I'll have to try and get that verified, but
he's definitely an anchor.
He also my mate Jamie also tells me that James Ward-Prowse isn't in any other game he's ever seen. He's not jippy, as he describes it. It's only when he plays us, and particularly Wilf, obviously. Make of that what you will.
I wonder why that is. I mean, we shouldn't speculate really, but I mean, there are reports of someone who looks extremely like James Ward-Prowse being at some very unscrupulous rallies. So, but we'll leave that there. of course, they destroyed us at Selhurst Park last season. Sam, absolutely ruined us. It was probably our worst performance of the season, wasn't it?
Yeah, it was just, it just felt like it was an inevitable result, you know. And they've, to be fair, they've been pretty good against us at Selhurst for the last few years, really. And it's just, I mean, they're quite a good team now. I think what was irritating before was they weren't even that good, but they comfortably beat us. Whereas now, certainly in the second half of the season, last season, they were really good and Ings was firing in all cylinders. Clearly, by the way, because we were linked with him before he went there, he definitely would have signed for us and got injured straight away. So, but yeah, they're a good team and they play some pretty nice stuff and it's going to be a very hard game. And I take a draw, to be honest with you. I know that's not the most exciting thing to say at the beginning of a season when we're all looking forward to it, but I think if we can come away with at least a draw, it'll be a sort of upswing on the last couple of years, won't it? So it won't be too bad a result, I don't think, because I think they'll do quite well this year.
Yeah, I was talking about Danny Ings. It is very frustrating that we didn't get him, especially the form that he's, well, the player that he's turned into. He sort of rediscovered he's up pre-injury form and looks fantastic. And Roy Hodgson, obviously, the last time we played him, said when he was asked about Danny Ings that he was still extremely upset with him for deciding to go to Southampton instead of coming to Palace. And of course, he's going to be a big, big threat on Saturday, especially considering, Albert, that, as I said before, despite our centre-back depth, we're down to the bare bones and even Cheku's in there. So what do you think of Cheku's pre-season so far?
Well, I can't say I've been paying the greatest amount of attention.
Well, he's been playing alongside Scott Dan, and he's done it a lot before. He does it a lot for his country. I think he was pretty much centre-back almost from minute one in the last African Cup of Nations when he took his team to the final. Where they lost, didn't they, in the final? But he plays centre-back for that pretty much that whole tournament. So he knows what he's doing. And Sam, you've watched the games. How do you think he did?
Yeah, he's looked pretty good. I mean, he hasn't had huge amounts to do because of how shit the opposition were. But he doesn't look like he can't play at centre half. You know, he obviously is comfortable doing it. He, like you say, he's done it for Senegal, and he's good at tackling. He's got really long legs. He's quite quick. So I'm not too bothered about him playing at centre back, to be honest. I wonder what will happen when Martin Kelly's fully fit and whether he'll come straight in for Kiate. But he's looked all right, to be honest. They both have. So that's a kiss of death.
Yeah, the skeptic in me says that Roy is happy that he can get all his favourites in, right? So he can move Gyro to left back, get Luca and MacArthur in the middle. He can still play Kiate at centre back. So he's keeping everyone happy there and still play this new 4-4-2 formation. So I think that's all left to say. But do Eze, assuming he's fit, do Eze and Batshuayi go straight into the starting 11 for Saturday?
Ooh, well, bearing in mind that's only a day away. I don't know if it's, I mean, I don't see why not, to be honest, because, you know, we saw what Batshuayi did the other night for Belgium. So he's obviously feeling all right and knows where the goal is. Shove him in. Why not? It's first game of the season. Even if you lose it, it's only the first game. So we've signed these players. We've got to use them. You know, we can't. There's no time to do that. Oh, let's bed them in gently. Like Batshuayi's played in this league before. You know, he'll come in. He's played with most of these players before. And get Eze in there as well if he's fit. Why not?
Feels like Jeff Schlupp's the biggest loser of this transfer window, Heskiff, after playing the whole pre-season up front. It kind of feels like now that they said play off the last shoulder and tried to get him to play as much like Batshuayi as possible.
Yeah. Here you go, Jeff. Watch videos of this from 2 years ago. I think he'll be all right this season just because Roy does like to play him sort of wherever. And as much as, you know, in the past I've not been his biggest fan, I think to have someone like Schlupp in the squad who can come off the bench and run around when you need someone to run around. I think that's a very good option to have.
and can play many positions as well. You know, you can play anywhere on the left, anywhere up front, in the middle. So.
He scored some all right goals as well last year, didn't he? So
and that's it. Is he the left back? Is he the left back solution? You know, maybe Gyro misses out altogether.
Oh no! Where does James McCarthy play?
Wherever he wants.
I don't think Eze and Batshuayi start on Saturday. I reckon they'll both be on the bench. So I reckon Shlupi will probably start. But then he'll bring on one or both when we're losing.
And there we go. Just 35 minutes or so into the first podcast of the season and it's a guaranteed loss. Go on, give us your prediction, Hesketh.
2-0 to Southampton.
Albert?
I'm going to go for a boring 1-1 draw.
Yeah, I'll say a hopeful 1-1. But you consider you're going 1-1, I'll start brightly and say 2-1 so we can have a full spectrum of predictions. And yeah, we'll see what happens. I'm excited. At least it's all been announced. It'll be on BT Sport this weekend, so you'll be able to watch all the games initially on September on TV at least. We'll see if that extends into October once we inevitably be told we can't go back into stadiums in October as well, as coronavirus cases are starting to pick up again. I think it's going to be very unlikely, which will then, of course, throw the current season ticket, you know, saga into fresh light. We haven't touched on that tonight because if you want to listen to some Back of the Nest talk on that, you can listen to Chris, DR and Mike talk about it on the previous podcast. But yeah, so I think that's pretty much it. Albert, you got anything left to say?
No.
No. right, so it's just head over to youtube.com/backofthenest where DR has been plugging away tirelessly all summer. Hasn't had a day off, doing transfer news and all sorts of stuff there. So go and look at his little punim. And I was going to say terrible beard, but I'm not one to talk at the moment. So there you go. Of course, head over to backofthenest.com. Plenty of stuff going on there all the time and on the socials, on Twitter at backofthenest or on Instagram at backofthenestcpfc. We'll be back next week, I assume. Is it another Saturday game next week? I'm not. Who's following the fixtures these days? I know we got a midweek against United at some point, haven't we? Is that right?
No, that's on the 9th. That's on the 19th, which is the Saturday, I believe.
Oh, right.
It's been moved in light of the TV announcement.
Yeah, it has. That's 5:30 next Saturday, so that'll be the next game we're previewing then. So, will we be back Wednesday next week recording, Hesketh?
Yes, I have no other plans.
Okay. How dare you have plans for the opening weekend. Anyway, that's a lot for this week, so tune in next Thursday morning where we will be in your ears, and of course the game will be reviewed by Hambo and his crew on Sunday, so look out for that. Until next week, up the Palace.
Back of the Nest, sponsored by Pitch Sport. Fantime videos, choose your match day squad, post match ratings, and much more. Available to download on the App Store and Google Play. PitchDMM.com.
It's the 90th minute. All your mates are round. You've got your McNugget share boxes ready to go. Your mates already got booked for double dipping, and you steal the last nugget, snatching all 3 points. Perfect. Order McDelivery now on the McDonald's app. You in? At participating restaurants, 18 plus, serving times, delivery fee and terms apply. See mcdonalds.com.
This podcast is proud to be part of the TalkSport Fan Network.
TalkSport. Powered by fans.